All right. Good evening. Thank you for joining with us, and I hope you had a great afternoon nap, and you're successful, and you woke up on time. And thank you for checking in with us. And if you share the service, like, comment, or whatever that needs to be done there on Facebook, just to share with others. And, the great opportunity that we have here is to connect with people that don't normally connect with us in a church service. So please do so, and please be focused. And I know that's very difficult for those who have children, myself included, because it feels like the whole entire service you're just saying, sit down, be quiet, sit still. All power to you. Aren't you so thankful for the nursery and Tiny Tots and Junior Church during these times? So just thank you for joining with us. And there's lots of things as far as announcements here that we'll get into, but let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get going with the rest of the service. God, we thank you so much for, again, another time that we could get into your word and focus on how to counsel, how to work through grief, what's wrong to do, what's right to do. God, just help us to look at your word and see the potential it could have on our lives, Lord, and just apply it, Lord, that so that potential can become reality for us. And Lord, we just thank you for life and that we still have this opportunity to serve, and that we can still reach out and be the light that you've called us to be. And Lord, just give us a great service here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as far as the announcements go, we have several things here. Please stay connected through our services, and that being through our Sunday services, and then our Wednesday services. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Is Pastor McPhillips, and he'll be doing his Wednesday evening Bible study. And then at 8 o'clock is our youth group that the teens can chime in on over Zoom. And yes, we've had some technology issues with that for some odd reason. Zoom likes to send two different meeting codes. And so please connect with me if you're having issues. That way we can get you signed in for our youth group. We've been having a good time just getting into the Word of God and deciphering what the will of God is for us in our daily lives. This is something cool that we get to be able to do, even in the midst of when a lot of churches don't have the resources to be able to do this. So please be involved in it. Invite others. I mean, some teens are not doing anything except for binge watching for the 50th day in a row, or playing on their video games. And so this might be a little bit of a change up for them that's needed to get into the Word of God. So please encourage your teen or other teens that you are in connection with to connect with me, and we'll get them signed into our youth group. But then also we do have our morning workouts with Pastor. It's a little devotional on Facebook. Every morning in between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, he'll be doing those Monday through Friday. And we also have YouTube lessons, a teen lesson and a kids lesson every day, or Monday through Friday. Sometimes during the day, those get released. And so please stay up with those. Usually with the kids and teens lesson, they're only about 10 to 15 minutes. So it could be a nice devotional for them just to get into the Word of God. But then I always also give a little activity for the kids to be able to do afterwards. So that's just another opportunity for them. And you know what? This is what I find interesting. I think we've had an answer to prayer in the midst of all of this. You know how many of us have been praying for God to get back in schools? Prayer. The Bible. And yet, school's happening in your home. And how much of God, prayer, and Bible is in your kids' school? Huh, that's an interesting factor. I think we've just answered our own prayer request here. Are we doing it, though? You know, that takes intentionality. And grace is giving you the resources to be able to do that. So why not just use the resources that God's given you? So please do that. If you're not taking advantage of these resources, I encourage you, I'd challenge you, I would push you to do this and to get involved. There's other things that you can be involved with, and that's giving. If you still would like to give, I know several have brought in their offering. We have that available from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. You can bring it into the office, or you can mail it in, or you can give through the online portal. So those are the different options. And talking about giving, the Everson family has allowed us to be able to use their songs for specials, and Pastor would like to take up a love offering for them. And so if you'd like to give specifically for the Eversons, I know that they're he's an evangelist and they're usually traveling around but aren't able to do so necessarily during this time. And so there is a need. So if you'd like to help out with that, you can by putting a note on whatever giving that you are sending in. So please, if you'd like to do so, do that. And then I just want to remind you, Mother's Day is next week. And even though there's social distancing and mask wearing and all kinds of craziness going on, we still want to appreciate mothers. And so just be thinking about that. Thank God for mothers and all that He has given through mothers, and so many mothers throughout the Bible that are great examples and that we could look to. So please remember that as we go forward here. I think that's it for all the announcements. Be in prayer for your missionaries. Keep in contact. They're dealing with the same stuff, but different types of circumstances. So just keep in prayer for them and all that they're going through as well. So I believe that's it for the announcements. We're going to have a congregational number, and I hope you know this song, but it's called Till the Storm Passes By, and there's meaning behind it. So please sing along with it and then remember it for the message that we will have very soon.
Wonderful hymn, Till the Storm Passes By. We'll sing all three verses tonight. The number 567 begins, in the dark of the midnight. Join us on that first verse now.
In the dark of the midnight have I often my face. While the storms howl above me and there's no long night.
right. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And I'm so thankful that we get to be able to listen to some congregational numbers so we can sing along with. But, you know, there is a point to that song. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Knowing that there are storms in life, we have to recognize that. And see, something that as we get into the first punch that Eliphaz, a supposed friend, throws, as we see that, he is super-duper confused on several things in life. In fact, I titled this The Wrong Starting Line, because he doesn't seem to have the right foundation, the right truth to start from. He knows just enough to get himself in trouble and to make trouble for others. And so we're going to be jumping into Job chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we're going to be reading through, and I'm going to be trying to explain as we go through this. But if you'd like to look forward and read into next week's sermon, Job 6 and 7 would be a good place to start. Just to familiarize yourself with the passage as Job responds to Eliphaz, this supposed friend. So, you know, Job never curses God, but is feeling very far away from him. And we discussed last Sunday evening about the fact that Job, the day that he was supposedly born here, that he would be totally wiped off of the face of the calendar, that he would have been a stillborn. He was wishing that he would have just passed away right then. I mean, he was hoping for life to end right there. Did he take his life? No, he did not. I just want to point that out. He did not take his life. Did he have desires? Yes. He desired for his life to be snuffed up right then so he could have rest in the midst of this storm. But he never took his life. And as we get into this, we find a man that really attacks Job while he's already down. I don't know if you've ever had that before, but when you're already down and you're getting a sucker punch, it doesn't feel so great and it doesn't encourage you to get back up. And this is what he's facing. Eliphaz the Temanite. We come to this point in the wrong starting line. You say, what do you mean? Well, if we were to have a race, And let's say that we just got to bring in some names here. You got to remember, you've probably forgotten some of the names, so I'm just going to mention some names here. Let's say that Jason Sherbert and I are going to be doing a race. And then all of a sudden, Rusty hears about it, and he wants to join in. So, yeah, he comes on down. And then Kevin, that could be like a nice teddy bear name for Kevin, right? Kevy, that's cute. Kevin decides he wants to prove himself, and so Kevin jumps in and he says, "Hey, I want to race you guys, okay? All right, and let's add in a few more. Since it's Spud's birthday, I believe it was yesterday. Let's add him in, right? And he's probably going to boot us right in the back end with his cowboy boots and we'd be all done and then he'd finish the race. But let's add in Spud and then why leave out Neil Lieberder, right? Because he could be able to do it. He'd probably show up with his truck and try to run us over before we even got started. But let's start this race. So let's all get started and Kevin decides that he wants to get smart. See, let's say, just for example's sake, and let's see if the video guy can keep his camera on me, all right? I'm going to give him a workout today. All right, let's say that the starting line is over here. And the finish line is going through those doors over there. But Kevin wanted to be smart and think he could get ahead So he's going to be way over here because he wants to beat everybody else. And so he's going to start over here on the starting line. Now, do you see a problem already? I mean, once the race gets started, Kevin's going to experience something totally different than the other men that are trying to prove their manhood over here. He's got a totally different perspective. He doesn't understand what's going on here on this starting line. He only understands what's over here. But is it truth standing over here? No. This isn't even the starting line. This is the wrong place. He's a cheater. That's what it comes down to. And I'm just going to mess with him because he's always messing with me. So he's a cheater. And he's standing over here and he's trying to get to the finish line. He doesn't even understand. And so he's making fun of us because we're starting at the wrong spot. We're not going to make it. Everything changes when you start at the wrong spot. Everything gets messed up when you start at the wrong spot. And this is exactly, you know, Kevin really wouldn't do all this. This is just for an example's sake. He would be right in line and he'd be doing the correct thing every single time. We all know Kevin, so it would happen like that. Right, but where's Eliphaz in this? And he's looking at this, and let me tell you, he's going to say a lot of things that seem to make sense. He kind of reminds me of Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen says a lot of things that sound really good. You notice I didn't say Kevin is like Joel Osteen. I said Eliphaz is like Joel Osteen. So don't bring Kevin into this. Stop being mad at him, all right? But Joel Osteen says a lot of things that sound good and almost biblical. But he's starting from the wrong line. It's not the Bible. It might be other things, like what feels good. So you're kind of giving away your point here. Let's get into it. Job chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, 'If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved?'" Now I messed up and I didn't give the point. All right, here. This is the point. Carlton's going to help me out. Job, you can dish it, but you can't take it. See, what do you mean? Well, sometimes there's certain people that you'd like to play a joke on, and they get really upset. But yet, they'll play the same joke on you, and then wonder why you're upset. You say, oh, you can dish it, but you can't take it. You can give it, but you can't receive it in return. And what Eliphaz is saying here as he jumps into this, we got into verse 2, I believe. If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? So if we actually talk with you, are you gonna be upset? But who can withhold himself from speaking? So he didn't even give Job ample time to respond to this. He just says, he's already got what he wants to say. All right. So if we start talking to you and we actually say something, are you going to be upset with us? But, you know, who can actually withhold himself from saying something? I got to get this off my chest. And he goes in verse 3 and he says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." So here it is. You are the one that jumps in, and you lift other people up. And when they're struggling, and when they're having issues, you instruct them, and you give them wisdom. And yet, when it comes to you, you aren't even applying your own truth. You can teach it, but you can't do it. That's what's happening here. Good job, Eliphaz. That's a great encouragement. You can dish it, but you can't take it. And then he goes on and jumps into an argument here. Sinners are judged. Sinners are the ones who are judged. You say, where's he going with this? Well, can I remind you of something here? When God himself states that this man is a righteous man, what was the words? He's perfect, upright, perfect not in the sense of total perfection, but it's spiritually mature. Okay, so he's spiritually mature, he's upright, and one that fears God and eschews evil. He turns from evil. God states this about him. It's stated multiple times in the very beginning. It's stated there over and over again. And yet Eliphaz comes in here and he's saying here that sinners are judged. What goes on? It says in verse 6, it starts there, it says, is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Or where were the righteous cut off? So when has it ever happened in your experience and what you've seen, in my experience and what I've seen, when has it ever happened that something wrong happened to those who followed after God? Verse 8, even as I have seen in my experience, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. So strength is totally taken away. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Here it is, total decimation to a whole number of lions here, given an illustration. What is he saying here? My proving point here is something that I'm going to try to win my argument is by my experience, by what I have seen, this is how I am going to decide what truth is. It sounds like Eliphaz is standing way over here on the wrong starting line because he doesn't understand the full truth. See, there's something different about Eliphaz concerning him and God. God can see the whole picture. Eliphaz can't. What Eliphaz is seeing is a very small portion, or what he thinks he sees, or maybe he's exaggerating in this, but yet he doesn't see the whole picture as God does. His perspective's off. See, God, he's not here. He's not over there. He's standing above, seeing everything that's going on. He's active within the creation. And yet Eliphaz is coming in and saying, this is what I've seen. This is what I've seen. This is what I've experienced. And this is what we need to make our judgments based off of. I would say that that's a problem. There's a whole lot of things that I see that I don't understand. I'll just state that. I'll just play that card. I understand that. I've been around for 30 years, yeah. But and there's still I've been able to glimpse, quite a bit in those 30 years. But I don't understand everything. I don't see the whole picture at times. I try to understand it, but I don't see it. And we try to make judgment calls based off of what we see in our little portion of the whole entire story. All of a sudden we need to freak out because we see this little bit. This little bit. When God sees the whole, and we forget who God is. As we get into this, there's another proving point that he tries to promote. And man, if this isn't creepy, I would wonder what's going on in your mindset. But as you head off in verse 12. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. Isn't that what I was just saying? Just a little? Just a little portion. But yet this is totally different. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. That's a good start, folks. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still. It stood still. But I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. And I heard a voice saying, now let's just back up and see what's going on here. This sounds like a horror movie. In the middle of the night where everybody's sleeping, all of a sudden, I see something, a form, and it's going to speak to me. He doesn't say this is an angel, God himself speaking. He just sees a form show up. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm having nightmares, in the middle of my sleep, there's a lot of things that go on. And sometimes, and this will happen with Keely or I, okay? Sometimes, all of a sudden, we'll just jump right out of bed. And we're looking around, and we're trying to make sense of something that just happened in our nightmare that we think is happening right in present time. And then the other one will wake up and say, what is going on with you? Go back to bed. That's usually what happens. Just get back in bed. Be quiet. Go to bed. I'm trying to sleep here. You just woke me up. I think we all understand what can happen in our sleep, and what we don't understand is going on here. But you see here in the speech that this supposed spirit is being given, it does not sound anything like what God has stated about Job previously. It says, shall mortal man be more just than God? It's true. And some of these things are going to seem true. They are very true in the sense of it. But when you twist truth and it's not full truth, there's problem. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Honestly, no. There is transcendence there. We are different from God. We're not more pure than him. We are not more just than him. It says, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. So what's he talking about? His own angels that turned against him, the fallen angels, those that decided Satan over him. They've been charged with folly. He doesn't have any trust in them. Verse 9, how much less in them that dwell in houses of clay? What's he talking about? Human beings whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They're destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. What is this? This seems like he's describing Job in this sense of how he's been totally destroyed, his home crushed, or his children's home crushed. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. So here are these people that are so different from God, they die without wisdom. So does Job not have any wisdom anymore? Chapter 5, verse 1, call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? So which saint of old, which follower of God are you going to call upon? It says, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I curse his habitation. So they tried to gain a foundation, and it's been cursed. His children are far from safety. Oh, what happened to Job's children? Decimated. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Let's just go back and recirculate all the things that Job's dealing with. Let's bring him back over his grief and rake him over the coals. There's no one to save your children. No one. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. As the sparks go up, yet man is born unto trouble. What's he saying here? Job, you can't be innocent. God does not allow bad things to happen to good people. There must be something wrong. When has it ever happened? I mean, look at experience. Look at over time. Ask some saints of old. When has it ever happened that God has punished the righteous? Where's he starting from? What's his starting line? Experience, or what he's seen, what he thinks is truth, and some spirit in the middle of the night that all he couldn't understand who it was, just called it an it, and yet never said this was God himself. This is just the spirit talking. You know what? Could it have been Satan? Could this have been of Satan's influence? Could it have been Satan just trying to... How much more could he take from him? Well, his friends who are sitting there right next to him in the midst of his sorrow and his grief. Let's just push him a little further. He hasn't cursed God yet. Why don't we just shove him into the ground even further? Everything's desolate. There's no wisdom. No safety for your children. Harvest is depleted. This is all what happens when sinners are judged. So Eliphaz gives some advice. You want to hear it? I'm about done with Eliphaz. Well, we've got 42 chapters. And we're only on chapter 5. We'll have Bildad and Zophar. Here's the advice. Verse 8. I would seek unto God. And unto God would I commit my cause. If I were you, I'd seek God. I'd go to Him. Commit everything to God. What's going on here? God is amazing and does good to the righteous. What? In verses 8 through 11. says, "What, which doeth," in verse 9, "which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety." If you just give yourself over to God, this is what God could do for you. If you just give in to Him, commit your cause to Him, He lifts up those who mourn. Verse 12, "He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise." So those who are wrong and sinful, he gets rid of their ability to make things happen. What do you think just happened to Job? Everything's taken from him. So Job, God's after you. "He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth." God punishes the wicked, saves those that are hurting. Verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." So this is God disciplining you, Job. "Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh." Let me just ask you for a second. Let's just stop there in the midst. Verse 21. Did Jesus say these things? "You'll never feel the scourge of the tongue." How many scourges of the tongue did Jesus face? How many did he deal with? You shouldn't be afraid of destruction. Who died on the cross? Who is beaten and spit upon and denied? Who had a crown of thorns pressed on his head? Who couldn't carry the cross? Because he had no more energy left, no more ability to be able to carry that wretched cross up that hill. It's Jesus. So what's he say? Starting from the wrong starting line. Verse 22, "At destruction, the famine, and famine thou shalt laugh." Laugh? Who laughs at that? "Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee." Now this just seems like a totally different world than what I live in. You'll be at peace with all the beasts of the earth. Please. When I was a teenager, my friend had a hamster or a gerbil, one of those rodents. His name was Snickers. And that thing, I was holding it, petting its head, and that stupid thing bit my finger. Now, what if I was to take his same explanation here and go pet the head of a lion? How about I do that? Let's go out to the wild and let's just go cuddle up with a lion or a bear. Let's go hang out with a grizzly bear today, folks. Let's see how that works. When you're the righteous, somehow the laws of nature don't work. Let's go into the back streets of Flint and see how many pit bulls just cuddle up with you. Let's go try it. What do you have against pit bulls? Well, when you've been lunged at by a pit bull, you'd be a little scared of them too. Just a little bit. I don't believe this for one second. I know Kevin's upset with me because he likes pit bulls. But listen, sometimes some old things, some past experiences affect that, and you're just a little bit timid. You know, my wife loves Rottweilers, but when you're bit in the face by a Rottweiler, you don't just go and cuddle up with a Rottweiler first time you meet one. Especially when her dog comes up and nips you in the butt. And then they say, oh, that's just their greeting. Really? Really? Okay, why all these stupid illustrations? Because of the very fact that this is total nonsense. And when you're speaking total nonsense to someone who's lost almost everything and is wanting to end his life, says no help whatsoever. Especially when you're starting from a totally wrong starting point. As you get into this, there's a few more verses here. Verse 24. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, the place of worship, dwelling. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. It's not sin anymore. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. No, offspring is the grass of the earth. Folks, you don't talk to somebody about how many children that they're going to have after they've just lost even one child. That's not the place that they're willing to go. If you talk to women who've had miscarriages, and they have difficulty even coming out on Mother's Day to church. Now, I still want to celebrate mothers. But yet there's some grief that they're working through there. And yet he is just off here. We have to be careful. It says, verse 26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as the shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know it thou for thy good. If you want good for you, commit thyself to God. Seek Him. You got sin in your life. If there's anything that the Word of God states here that we need to press on in this passage, is the very fact that bad things still happen to good people. Trials happen to good people. We still face loss. We still face pain and suffering. Why? is to point us to God. It's to point us to God, to see how we can't get through this on our own. We do need God. And it's a struggle. And that's a raw reality there that we've seen in Job's life and we'll continue to see. As even as he says, man, it's like the sands of the sea are just poured out on me. And then I feel like I'm the target for target practice. I just feel like I'm the one that every bad thing is geared towards, because he's just faced, this is reality for him, what he's going through. But you know, these are the things that in this this cursed world, God wants us to be able to see him and how he can help us through all of that. And that there is one day when there won't be any more storms, one day where there won't be any more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. That is our eternity for those who are following after him. And so when you come into this, please be careful in the midst of grief. Listen, seek God. That is important. That's one truth that he gets. But he didn't understand the rest of it. Do seek God. See him for all that he is. Not so your life could be absolutely perfect and that there's no other problems to be had. That's a misstep in theology. That's a misstep in understanding what the Word of God gives. Paul says he has joy in sharing in the suffering of Christ. What are you going to say to him? That's the words that the Holy Spirit led him to be able to write in Scripture. What's going on here is the very fact that if you are in grief, please seek God. If you're trying to help someone who is in grief, how you begin can determine where you end up in your counseling. And if you're beginning on your experiences and how you feel and what these people said and this person's an expert and that person, rather than, or spooky nightmares, or on the other occasion, start from the foundation of the Scripture where you can help them through it and say, hey, there is problems in life. Bad things happen to good people. And I know you're struggling and I don't understand everything that you're going through, but our God can do this. God's got this. God can get us through this. And one day it will be okay. We're still safe and secure. If we are in Christ, we're still safe and secure. In his loving arms, our identity is totally changed because of who God is. This is it. Not your life is going to be rainbows and cotton candy for the rest. It's going to be total perfection, but yet God's going to get us through this. God's good. All the time. How you begin can determine where you end up. Misapplying truth is dangerous. Don't just guess. Give truth. And when you misapply it, it can be extremely dangerous. Let's not be a tool for turning someone away from the faith. And number three on this, don't make assumptions about a person's heart. Don't make assumptions about a person's heart when you've never had the ability to see it. God has never given you the ability to go to the deepest depths of a person's heart and be able to discern what's going on in there. God's given you the ability to pray and intercede on that person's behalf, but never to know their heart. So don't come in here with a bunch of presuppositions and end up destroying somebody's life because you think you know it all. And you say, well, I never go to the person, but I sure think about it. And I talk about it behind their back. Please, does that help? Maybe you're destroying yourself by pretending to know more than what you truly know. There's so much packed within this. Yes, seek God. If you would have taken that whole entire verse out and taken that out and left it on its own without the rest of that junk in that's in there, all the other things that are totally misapplied for Job, seek God, that would have been perfect. If he would have just gave a few words rather than kept on going. Where are you at today? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've given. Just help us as we move forward with this. Help us to be good counselors and to respond to grief in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust that you'll be able to look at this passage and pray and seek his face in regards to how this applies to you and how you can live this out. Please take the next few moments and pray. Intercede. Give this grief over to God. Seek his face. It'll be the best thing for you. Please be involved in other people's lives, but yet know how you're going to do it and use the Word of God all the way through. So please take the next few moments and pray. Pray with your children. Help them through this process of just helping other people, showing compassion and loving others without judging them. All right. We'll talk to you later.